Hello, everyone, and welcome to Muskies Matters with Lakeland University head football coach Colin Bruton. Muskies Matters is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Lakeland coach questions about the Muskies, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Bruton's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach discusses the big game against Hope College this weekend. He discusses what other sports kids should play as kids to improve their football skills. And the coach tells us why it's good to be a Muskie. So let's get right to Muskies Matters. Well, let's welcome back Coach Bruton. Coach, do you have team updates you'd like to provide for us?
You know, not a ton, just a big week for us. You know, I think since we last talked, we had a couple guys, Oman Smothers and Michael Whitley, were named Conference Player of the Week after their performance against Carroll. And so that was exciting for us. But really, it's just been a week of preparation and a really quality opponent we got this Saturday in Hope College. So been a good week of preparation so far, and we're getting ready to take off tomorrow for the trip, and it's going to be a good week for us.
Now, you take on Hope College this Saturday. This is a team that you guys haven't faced since 2014. As a coach, do you prefer the familiarity of playing somebody every season, or is this enjoyable in the fact you're facing somebody new?
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun sometimes for our guys to, especially with an overnight trip, with a travel trip, to go experience something else, a new stadium, a new environment. You know, the Hope will, you know, we'll have a very good crowd following, so it's going to be a good crowd. It's going to be a good atmosphere. So I think that's exciting. As far as a coach, you know, sometimes it's easier when you have a team that you got, you know, years of experience playing, and you kind of know what they're going to give us. You know, the one nice thing about Hope is, you know, they're in the MIAA. Our offensive coordinator played in the MIAA, coached in the MIAA, so he's got some familiarity with their schemes. And, you know, Hope hasn't changed a lot defensively over the years. Offensively, they got a little bit new philosophy in the last couple of years, but defensively, they haven't changed much. So there is a little bit of familiarity on our end with Hope's defense, and what we think they're going to give us. Offensively, it's a little bit new, but we feel like we have a pretty good grasp on it.
What are some keys that you look for in this contest?
You know, I think this game's going to be one up front. You know, Hope's a really, really physical football team, Our defensive line has really got to match the physicality of their offensive line, and then we got to be really sound in our run fit. So it's you know, our linebackers, our safeties, you know, how they fit the run, how we get our bonus players to the run game is going to be a big key. And then offensively, you know, they're really, really sound defensively. So I think our offensive line, again, that physicality up front, they're a physical defensive line. We have to be able to run the ball some, and then we have to be patient offensively. You know, against Carroll in week one, we hit a lot of big plays, a lot of big shots, a lot of vertical shots. That's probably not going to be the case on Saturday. It's probably going to be a game we're going to have to be a little bit more efficient, kind of grind it out. And then we've talked all week about, you know, expecting this to be a four-quarter game, expecting this to be a game that we're going to have to win in the fourth quarter. So just being mentally prepared for the fourth quarter and what that entails, and the fact that defensively we're going to have to make 3 to 4 stops in that fourth quarter, and offensively we're probably going to need 1 to 2, you know, big scoring drives at some point in that quarter, either to, you know, to put the game away or to kind of have that one decisive score. So you know, we're expecting it to be a 60-minute contest.
And now, I know the big weapon for them is their running back, Brandon Campbell. What are some things that you say to your defense about trying to contain him?
Yeah, he's really good, really quality running back. I think he rushed for 1,300 yards last year and was the first-team all-league player for them. And he's a really physical downhill runner. So we got to try to get him going lateral. That happens by winning the line of scrimmage. It happens by being really sound in our run fits. And then really it comes down to, you know, we're going to try to get our safeties involved in the fits a little bit, making sure they fit the run the right way. So when they're the unblocked player, they're getting to the ball. You know, sometimes you'll see where you got a safety or a corner that doesn't get blocked with the offensive scheme, but they never get to the football. So we've really been working this week on you know, just getting those guys to the football, making sure they fit it the right way. And then obviously we got to tackle. This kid's a really good back that's going to run through bad tackles, and we have to make sure that we're really solid tacklers this week. It's going to be a tremendous challenge for us trying to stop a kid of his ability.
Well, let's talk about fan questions this week. We first of all begin with Lynn, who says, I wonder what you think is a good age for boys to start playing contact football. There seems to be a lot of debate about this now.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't think kids should be playing, you know, probably much before junior high. You know, I would say 6th, 7th, 8th grade is probably a good time to start playing tackle football. I think there's a lot of other sports that kids can play earlier that are good for them and will help prepare them for football. There's some tremendous flag football programs right now in a lot of cities, and I think that's probably a better option for your son right now, is to be playing flag football up until probably, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. I don't even think it's terrible for a kid to start playing football, you know, as a freshman in high school. Some of that I think is related to the amount of contact and you know, not taking those, you know, contact shots as a second grader and third grader and fourth grader like some kids do. But I think also it's just burnout. You know, I think we see it at our level now with kids in college that have been playing football for, you know, 12 or 14 years or, you know, something like that. And it's you know, I think there's a little bit of burnout with that as well. And I think, you know, let them play all the sports, let them play flag football. But I don't think contact, you know, tackle football until probably junior high.
James would like to know, he says, I am all for a team trying its best, but is there a point where you think that a team has a big enough lead that maybe it's time to take the foot off the gas, so to speak?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and it's honestly, it's tough as a coach. We've been in those situations a few times. You know, we led a game last year 50-0 at the half. We've led, in my 2 years as head coach, we've had a couple 40-point leads in the first half. The way we traditionally attack it is, you know, in the first half, we're going to play. So in the first half, there's really no running up the score. We're going to continue to throw the ball. We'll continue to play our starters. And then we'll kind of evaluate things at halftime. We'll evaluate where we are, you know, where the opponent is, you know, kind of the score, the time, and that kind of stuff. Obviously, when you get into a situation like that, for me, the biggest thing is we want to make sure everybody on our roster gets playing time. Everybody gets a chance. These kids that are practicing hard get a chance to play, get a chance to get game experience. I think the really hard thing is you can't tell those kids not to play hard, and we never would, you know. So you get to a point where, you know, you're up 50 or 60 or 70 points and you got a third or fourth string running back in the game and they want to score too. They want to show what they can do. And it's certainly not fair to that kid to tell him, you know, not to run the ball hard or not to, you know, not to score when he has an interception or something like that. I think that's where it gets difficult sometimes as a coach. Sometimes you're doing everything you can to run the football, doing everything you can not to run the score up, to run the clock, to take time. And it just happens because, you know, maybe the opponent, you know, it isn't quite good enough to stop you. And so at that point, it becomes really difficult. I know, you know, St. John's a couple weeks ago, 98-0, isn't a great look for, you know, for college football when you look at it from afar. But when you really look at that box score and you look more into that game, you know, I think St. John's did everything they could to not run the score up. They played, you know, everybody on the roster, it sounded like. They had, you know, numerous guys carry the ball. They didn't throw passes in the second half. And at some point, you know, it becomes the opponent's job to stop you as well. So it's a fine line, but I think, like I said, the first half we're going to play it like normal. We're going to try to attack. We're going to try to score. We're going to be aggressive, and then the second half we'll kind of evaluate where things are at.
You know, I'm wondering in a question like this that player safety becomes an issue when you're kind of, you know, trying to protect and not really, you know, give your hardest and stuff like that. Aren't you kind of putting yourself in a dangerous situation as well?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you're not playing hard on the football field, you're going to get hurt. You know, if you're not playing full speed, if you're not doing everything you can to, you know, to play your hardest, you're putting yourself at a huge liability to get hurt. And it's not fair to the kids in any respect to say that, you know, to say that you're not going to try. You know, that a running back shouldn't try to score when he has the ball, or that a defender shouldn't try to score when he creates a turnover or something like that. I just don't think that's fair to the kids. Now, I also don't, you know, I think whereas a coach, you know, you're not going to be throwing, you know, vertical passes and throwing the ball deep when you're up 50, 60, 70 to nothing. I think that's where, as an opposing fan, as an opposing coach, you would get upset. You know, you'd say, hey, are you trying to run the score up on us? But if you're running the ball and you're running, and the opponent can't stop you, I mean, at some point we're also playing college football here, and it's their responsibility to stop us at some point too.
Phil would like to know, are there other sports that you think kids should play that help improve a boy's football skills?
Yeah, and I'm a huge advocate for kids playing multiple sports. I think the sports specialization that's going on, not just in football, but basketball and baseball and soccer, is a huge, huge detriment to the kid. It leads to a lot of muscle injuries. It leads to a lot of overwork injuries. You know, where you're overworking the same muscle group or things like that, but it also just leads to burnout. And I think there's some transferable skills that kids can learn. You know, the things that we've seen is that, you know, we have some kids that when they have played basketball, they have a basketball background. They're better at changing direction. They're better at moving laterally. When they've played soccer, they understand spacing better. They understand angles, pursuit angles, things like that. When they play baseball, There's hand-eye coordination that we see. You know, we have some defensive backs that I've coached throughout the years. They can't play a ball in the air because they never played baseball. They're not used to tracking a fly ball, that kind of thing. So I think there's tremendous value to playing other sports. I think just being a part of a team and being competitive for kids is really important. So whether they're on a swim team or they're on a cross country or track team, whatever team it might be, you know, just the ability to compete, the ability to be in a team, to build those skills are important. So I would tell kids, play every sport you can. You know, play every sport you can, and even at the high school level, I think there's value to being a three sport athlete. There's value to playing two sports. There's, you know, being in multiple sports, I think there's huge value.
Shelley would like to know, she says, as a parent, I am concerned with things like hazing, and I want to know where you stand on this kind of thing, not only in football, but in Lakeland in general.
Yeah, I mean, we have a no hazing policy within our team. You know, we're not going to condone any hazing, whether it's a freshman or for any reason. We're not going to condone hazing. And, you know, part of when you try to build a family atmosphere is, you want to make sure you take that out. You know, we're not going to have these hazing events. We're not going to act like you hear about some of the fraternities and things like that. And that's something that we're really going to try to avoid. I think when you're in a family, there's a fine line between being able to joke with each other, being able to tease each other about something, and hazing. And sometimes I think guys, might cross that line and not realize they're crossing the line. And that's where you try to reel them in and you try to make sure it's a learning experience. And we've been fortunate that we haven't had, a whole lot of incidents like that by any means. But sometimes I think as a coach as well, you don't know what's going on in the locker room. You know, we don't spend a lot of time in the locker room. That's the player's area, and we're in there kind of before games and maybe a little bit before practice if we have to, you know, grab somebody or something like that. So, you know, with some of that, you need to really rely on your upperclassmen. You need to rely on your leadership to take care of those situations. I don't think we've had a lot of those incidences. I've been the head coach now in my third year. You know, I've been at Lakeland for 11 years, and I haven't seen a lot of those incidents. And you surely hope they're not going on. And if we do hear about them going on, we'd handle it very swiftly and take care of it. But it hasn't been, in my estimation, an issue really at Lakeland. We got a very good family atmosphere within the team. And I think on campus, that's kind of the same feel. You know, we're not going to allow hazing on campus. We're not going to allow hazing in the dorms. We're not going to allow hazing really in any avenue. It's just not something that should be allowed on a college campus, in really any venue, whether it's an athletic team, a fraternity, clubs and organizations, or just on campus in general, it shouldn't be allowed.
Anna would like to know if it's hard to coach in a sport where one game means so much.
I think that's what makes it exciting. You know, I think that's what makes it, such a fun sport to coach. We've been fortunate, in my first 2 years as head coach, we've never played in a game that didn't have meaning. You know, we've never gotten to the point at the end of the year where we weren't playing for a conference championship. So, that we've been fortunate in that way. We've put ourselves in that position. But I think that's what makes it important is that every week means so much. This isn't a baseball season where you play 40 games and maybe losing doesn't matter as much when you lose one game or you split a doubleheader or something like that. Every game we play has implications for us, with us reaching our ultimate goal. And I think that's really exciting. I don't think that's really a negative. I think that's something that's really a positive about coaching football.
We have a whole series of questions from Tyler, which I'm assuming he knows you well. So let's first of all start out with your favorite movie of all time.
I'll give you two. I'd say I think my favorite movie of all time is Hoosiers. Big fan of Hoosiers, the basketball movie. But I think the best movie I've seen, though, is the Shawshank Redemption. So I think those two would probably be my favorite two. Hoosiers, a little bit more of a one I just like to watch when I'm just kind of relax or something like that. I've probably seen the movie 100 times, and I think Shawshank's the best movie I've seen.
He would also like to know what your most underrated movie of all time is.
I'd go with most underrated. Probably, I'll give you two again. I'll give you Cinderella Man, which I think is a really underrated movie. I think it's probably the best boxing movie that's out there, and I know a lot of people like Rocky would probably disagree. And then I'll give you my senior year of high school, I went to the theaters and saw The Blair Witch Project the first day it came out. And I remember just being terrified of that movie. And I think that's a movie, because of the format of the movie, that gets a lot of negative publicity because of the way it was filmed, kind of a documentary with the shaking camera. But I think that was a really, really outstanding movie and just a really interesting take or interesting way to do a movie. So I'd give you those two.
Tyler would like to know what you think is the most overrated movie of all time.
I'd probably go with the late 70s or early 80s comedies. So the I think the whole genre of, you know, Caddyshack and Animal House and I think that kind of genre of movies in general, I just don't think stand up. I'll probably take some abuse for this one, but I'm not a Caddyshack fan. I don't think Animal House is very funny. So probably any movies kind of in that area, that kind of early 80s comedies, I'd say, are probably a little bit overrated.
Well, I think we're on the same page. I'm not a big Animal House fan either, so I'll go with that one.
Good deal. Yep.
Tyler would like to know if you believe in ghosts.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't given it much thought, but yeah, I suppose I don't not believe in ghosts. So I guess I believe in them. Sure.
Okay, we're getting our history question of the week. He says, "Do you think that the Zimmerman telegram was a justifiable means of the United States to enter World War I, or was it a false flag operation?"
I think you can go either way on that. Knowing Tyler, and he is a big history buff, and I would say this: I think the United States was entering World War I either way. So I think, while it might have been a justifiable means, we were going to enter the war. You know, as the United States as a world superpower, you're not going to stay out of a world war. You're going to pick a side, and you got the Allies and all that stuff. So we were probably entering either way. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, so I'll probably say it was a justifiable means and not a false flag operation. But I know there's people on both sides of that argument that would say that it, you know, was a false a false flag operation. So I'll go justifiable means, but I think we were entering the war either way.
That question just sent a whole bunch of people to Wikipedia to find out what you're even talking about. So,
absolutely.
So I would also like to know, Coke or Pepsi?
100% Coke. If I could change anything about Lakeland, we're a Pepsi school, and we got a great partnership with Pepsi, but I would absolutely switch our partnership to Coke. I'm a huge Coke guy.
Do you see the moon being colonized in your lifetime?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I hope I live another, 50, 60, 70 years. I don't know. I look at, where technology has come, where we've come in the last, 20 or 30 years, and I don't see why it wouldn't be feasible. I think, why not? Sure.
What is the best frozen pizza that you can readily purchase at your local grocery store?
I'm a big fan of the Jack's Rising Crust Pizza. So I think it's a solid pizza. It's a good price point. Available at most retailers. So I'd go Jack's Rising Crust Pizza. I think as a coach, you end up eating a lot of frozen pizza. I get home a lot late at night, and my wife has already cooked, and the two kids are getting ready for bed. And a lot of nights, I'm either heating something up or I'm making myself a frozen pizza. So I'd go Jack's Rising Crust, and I feel like I can speak pretty intelligently on that question.
So coaching has turned you into a frozen pizza connoisseur, I'm gathering.
Absolutely. that's correct.
He would like to know Denver or Austin and why.
Oh, two quality cities, I think. I'd probably go Denver just for a little bit more of the seasons. I also think if you're gonna evaluate cities, you need to look at pro sport teams. And Austin has a lack. Obviously, they have UT, but Denver has some pro sport teams. So I'd probably go Denver just for the I like some winter. I don't want a ton of winter, but I think some winter is good and the pro sport team. So I'll go Denver there.
And his last question is: when you arrive at the pearly gates, what do you want God to say to you?
I hope he says welcome home, and you can enter here, I guess, would be the two messages I hope he comes up with.
Our next two questions are from Eric. His first one is, what's your favorite childhood memory?
Probably going to youth football games. My dad was, or still is, a football official, so he's been wrestling for 36 years. I'm 36 years old, so kind of my earliest childhood memories were going to Chicago Catholic League games, and he'd rest four games on a Sunday, and we'd be at the game, and we get to eat as much food as we wanted from the concession stand as the rest of the kids, and just run around, and sometimes being the ball boys, or sometimes just running around playing football. That's probably my favorite childhood memories. That was kind of a family time, and my brothers would be out there, and we'd be playing catch or playing football and watching the game. So I'd probably say just going to youth football games, watching my dad ref was probably my favorite childhood memory.
Eric would also like to know, what career would you choose if you weren't coaching?
My original plan was law school, So I'd like to say, hopefully I would have been a lawyer. I've always joked that I wanted to be president. So I don't know if that would have led that route. But I think, potentially a lawyer, and then maybe a career in politics, or looking at, some form of politics, I think would have been the two options.
Our next viewer from Nicholas. The first is, what is your biggest fear, and explain it?
Wow, I have most of our team knows this, and our coaches obviously know this. I have an extreme phobia of cats. Terrified of any sort of domesticated house cat or cat. We have some cats, a handful of cats on campus that are, we're kind of surrounded at Lakeland. We're a rural campus, so we're surrounded by some farms, things like that. So we have some farm cats that will occasionally end up on campus, and I'm terrified of cats, and I wish I could explain it. I have absolutely no explanation for it, but I am terrified of cats, and it's kind of a joke among our team. They'll see these farm cats on campus, and they all want to snap a picture and send it to me, or they want to, if they see me out and they know there's a cat around, they want to see my reaction. So, I'm terrified of cats. I've been terrified of cats my whole life, and like I said, I really have no explanation for it. I wish I did, but I don't.
Hopefully you'll understand this question. He asked, you have to choose between 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street. Which are you taking?
Yeah, this has been, Nick's one of our assistant coaches, so it's been a talk in the office. Coach Tresky, our quarterback's coach, has never seen 21 Jump Street, which I think is one of the most underrated movies. Probably one I could have listed for most underrated. So we're planning a bus trip to Hope. One of the plans is that Coach Tresky has to watch these two movies on the bus trip. So, as a head coach, I'm putting down that command. But 21 Jump Street, I think, is a little bit better movie. Both are really, really good. But I'd go 21 Jump Street slightly better.
And our last question from Nicholas, which we hope is completely hypothetical, is if you were on death row, what would be your last meal?
Yeah, like I said, hypothetical for sure. Hope it's never the case. But grew up in Chicago, so my favorite food, I'm a pizza guy, like I mentioned. Probably a pizza from Giordano's, stuffed crust pizza, deep dish Chicago style pizza. I'd go Giordano's pizza, or definitely some sort of deep dish stuffed crust type pizza.
Excellent. And our last question this week, Coach, tell us why it's good to be a Muskie.
I think it's good to be a Muskie. We have an outstanding opportunity as a football program on Saturday. We're going to play Hope. We're going to play a really, really quality opponent. Hope was, a preseason top 25 team nationally in a couple of the national polls, and a team that was picked to win their conference. And it becomes a great measuring stick game for our program and for our team. And this is the type of game that if we get to our ultimate goal, if we get to be a team playing in late November in the national playoffs, this is the type of game, type of team that we'll see, type of game that's going to have implications on potentially on seeding when we get to that point in the playoffs. So it's a tremendous opportunity. It's also a chance for us to travel and have an overnight trip, which again will prepare us for what a playoff experience will be like. But it's also a great time for us to bond as a football program, and we're excited about that. We're going to do our walkthrough on Friday at Northwestern University, so getting a chance to go to a Big Ten school and to kind of see their facilities and do our walkthrough will be cool for our guys. And just the time we get to spend together on the bus, the time we get to spend together eating and staying at the hotel is going to be really, really beneficial for our program. So we're excited, and it's going to be a heck of a weekend for us.
That's excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, thanks, Rob.
We want to thank Coach Bruton for joining us on Muskies Matters this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Lakeland University coach, please send them to us at colinbruton@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's colinbruton@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Muskies Matters.